From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
You have almost made it to the end of your week. Congratulations. Weekend is right around the corner. Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Joe, I know you've been pining for the weekend for a while.
I do it every week. These weeks, though, have been flying by. The nice thing about football season is you just, it's like bam, bam, and it's done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's September, October, November, December, gone.
Right. Like, if you had any plans for any other stuff that you were trying to do in your life, it's like all of a sudden it just goes away.
Boom, 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 gone. Now we've got to sit through January and February.
Those are tough months.
It's misery.
Yeah. I mean, and the basketball stuff is great. Marquette and Wisconsin both strong and love what the Bucks are doing right now. And so that will make it better. But it's just, it's tough. It is tough. But I think that we should celebrate the end of this week. The fact that we've made it to the end of the work week. And what better way to celebrate than to play a little buy or sell?
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Look at you.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things.
Yes, they do.
But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play buy or sell.
All right.
Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Did you like how sneaky I was there?
I like how you did that.
Just sort of snuck that up on you there.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
Buy or sell segment begins.
All right. Kevin, it is once again a true rivalry between the Packers and Bears.
A true rivalry between the Packers and Bears. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to buy it because if we were having this conversation 2 or 3 years ago, and I think we did, you and I. It was kind of like, you know, I don't know if I look at the Bears thing the same way. I kind of think it's like Minnesota was starting to become that rival. And, you know, even last year when Aaron Rodgers had the injury in Minnesota, and it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
You know, all right, Vikings, we're watching out for you now. I think that was my mindset at the time. But this year has proven that, for one, the Bears are headed in a very good direction. Like it or not, it's happened. And that the Packers are, you know, scrambling a bit for footing. It's evened out the field a little bit. And you don't look at the Bears as, oh, this is probably going to be a win anymore. It's actually the other way around. You know, it's going to be difficult to win in Chicago. And that is what's going to make it a true rivalry. That's a good team. And if you beat that team, not only is it, you know, for neighborhood bragging rights and all that stuff, it's also a significant win over a significant team. So I'm buying it. True rivalry once again.
Buy or sell?
Kevin, the Chicago Bears are a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Whoa. That's a fierce one right there. Legitimate Super Bowl contender. See, I have seen the Rams in person. I have seen the Saints on TV. And there's nobody in that category yet. The Bears' defense is going to help them in games like it did against the Rams when they held that potent offense under, you know, to single-digit points. But a legitimate Super Bowl contender, I think, is maybe a little more well-rounded than that team is right now. Like, let's advance the Mitch Trubisky projection, like his career projection, another year or two. And then maybe it's there because I think, you know, as he goes along, he should be making better plays, better throws, and fewer mistakes and that kind of thing. The other parts are pretty good. I just offensively, they're just a tick behind, though, aren't they? Not just with Trubisky, but they have not established that I'm scared of this person on offense.
Tariq Cohen, maybe a little bit.
Right.
I'm a little afraid of him.
Yeah.
I'm a little afraid of Tariq Cohen.
Versatility is a thing. But you have, you know, that offense is just not at that point yet. They are a very good team with a good defense, and that's going to get them in places where they may not normally be, but not legitimate Super Bowl contender yet.
Buy or sell?
The 6-6-1 Minnesota Vikings season is more embarrassing than the Packers 5-7-1 season.
Oh, man. Wow. That's a boy. That's a tough buyer sell right there.
Chew on that one.
Woo! Because let's review, shall we? Mason Crosby in Detroit, Clay Matthews and those penalties to start the year that significantly altered games, specifically the Minnesota game, the one at Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm.
The losses coming down the stretch and the fact that the Packers have not won a road game all year. The head coach got fired. The Vikings offensive coordinator got fired. The Packers head coach got fired. I don't think I can buy this. It's an embarrassing season in Minnesota because they were better than the Packers were last year, right? That part is there. But the Packers, this is bigger than one season. For the Vikings, I feel like it's a one season, you know, it's a tough year. For the Packers, we're talking about directional changes, a head coaching change, probably a lot of free agents that'll be gone, a rebuild of sorts of the roster. I mean, football is weird in that way. But I don't think I'm going to sell it. I think the Packers season has been more embarrassing. I thought they'd win 11, 12 games again.
Buy or sell?
So, I hate to fall into this trap, but my colleagues in the morning on the Fan in Milwaukee put this out. And personally, I don't think it's time to be doing this, but let me throw it at you. Buy or sell, drafting a quarterback in the first round of the 2019 draft would be a bad decision for the Green Bay Packers.
Wow, they talk about a directional move for your franchise, something that's altering your future.
They brought this up this morning, so I'd...
Do you know what year Brett Favre was born? That ties into your question.
What year Brett Favre was born?
He was born in 69. Does that sound right?
Maybe. Very good, yeah.
1969.
October 10th, 1969.
So he was 35 at the moment of the draft when Aaron Rodgers was taken. Aaron Rodgers was born in 1983. He will be 35 years old when this draft happens. I would normally not buy this. Wait, let me go back to the statement. Drafting a QB would be a bad decision.
Yep, in this coming draft.
Normally I would buy that. I would say it is a bad decision. But you have something very interesting at play that I think makes it a good decision. And it's because Brian Gutekunst has set you up with an extra first-round pick.
Normally, I would say
you need an edge rusher, you need whatever, right? You need some other stuff on this roster. But you could get both. You have two first-round picks. And you can arrange it however you want. The higher one could go for your immediate need and the lower one for a quarterback for down the road.
Sure.
So, I'm selling.
Wow.
Drafting a QB in the first round at 30, when Rodgers is 35 years old, is not a bad decision for the Packers. They have two first-round picks. You use one on a quarterback, and you start thinking about what's going to happen down the line. The fact that they did this when Favre was 35 has led to an entire generation of good Packers football. You might be setting up the next generation if you draft a QB.
See, I think there's just... I think if there were different factors in mind, like if Aaron Rodgers didn't sign that extension just yet, that would be maybe more plausible to do it. I also don't know if this quarterback class is going to be all that good.
Yeah, that is a factor.
That's the other thing, too. It's like, if you're going to seize the moment on a quarterback, you want to make sure that this guy has all the potential in the world. I mean, if you really got to decide how this is going to play out here with your quarterbacks. And I think we'll get a better idea with the combine and how these guys look at their pro days. Of who's really going to be standing out. And believe me, we'll have the draft just covered here.
Yeah.
From January to April, believe me, on this show, we'll be all over it. But I just don't know, man. I want to give it another year.
Yeah.
Because for me, this Packers team needs to get back to the Super Bowl next year. They need to turn this around fast. And you got to hit on those two picks. The Saints did it a couple of years ago when they had the 11th and 32nd overall picks. And they hit on Marshawn Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk, and that turned it around for him. That's what I have to hope for the Packers. They need to find impact players on both sides of the ball, not a QB.
Yeah, you make a good point there. You want to be competitive in 2019. Maybe you need every one of those.
Yeah, I'm just not
buy
ready
or
to
sell.
Do it. Agree to disagree?
Yeah, that's fine.
Agree to disagree?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, okay.
Good points on both sides.
All right, let's go over to the Bucks. And this is just funny to me. So everybody hated Eric Bledsoe last year, right?
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's like, get rid of Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
He made every Bucks fan in this state mad when he just played like crap against the Celtics. He did no favors, okay? So now here we are. Eric Bledsoe has been awesome.
Mm.
He is back in the good graces, I think, of the majority of Bucks fans. And now what I'm hearing, Kevin Holden, some Bucks fans think Eric Bledsoe is more important to the future of the organization than Chris Middleton, just because Middleton's been in a recent slump. Do you buy that?
Wow. You're hitting the big ones here, Joe. The big ones. You're hitting these are huge topics here.
I just think it's so funny. It's like everyone was so sick of Bledsoe, and now some of those same people are saying that Bledsoe is more important than Chris Middleton for the future. Not just this season, but for the future of the organization.
I mean, are they saying it in the same terms that we did with Jabari, that it will cost X amount to keep Middleton and that's an issue, or are they literally just talking talent to talent?
Well, the thing is, Bledsoe, this is a contract year for him.
Right.
So he's playing well in a contract year. Is this going to be Eric Bledsoe for years to come? Are the Bucks willing to pay him $20-plus million a year? Middleton, on the other hand, there's an argument to be had. He may get max money.
Yeah. And is he worth max money?
See, for me, Middleton has always had those inconsistencies. I think Chris Middleton's worth $20 million a year. I don't think he's worth $30 million a year.
Yep.
I cannot sit here. As much as I like Chris Middleton and I defend Chris Middleton, he is not a max player.
Yeah.
He's not.
And that, to me, factors into the discussion, right?
Right.
If you're talking straight up talent to talent, Eric Bledsoe more important to the Bucks' future than Chris Middleton? No!
Talent to talent,
the answer is no. And I understand that Middleton's had his slumps and there's whatever was happening here in the last week or two. It was, you know, he sort of slip below the radar for a minute. That to me is not a long-term concern. I don't think that turns into the future of Chris Middleton. But contracts added into this change it for me a little bit, because I think the Bucks are about to have to make a really difficult decision on Chris Middleton, that what he should get paid and what they should pay him are two different amounts of money. So I'm buying it.
You are buying it.
Only with the contracts involved.
Involved.
Because Bledsoe's not getting max money.
Uh-uh.
Right?
No.
So you will spend less for Bledsoe than you will for Middleton. And even if Middleton's a little bit of a better player, I think Bledsoe's the better value.
Let me just throw something at you real quick before we get to Mike Clemens. Let's just say the Bucks get to the finals this year.
We would never go on a vacation again, are we?
Let's just say this happens, okay? Eastern Conference is wide open. I never thought we'd be talking about this, because believe me, I've had more negative thoughts about the Bucks' future than anyone. But the way they're playing right now, it has been good. If they get to the finals and Middleton gets it back together and he is a key reason why they are in the NBA Finals,
my mind would change.
Would then you say give him max money?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. If he became that like right at, you know, like there's Giannis and then Middleton would be like right below him, just a half notch below him, he'd be worth it.
Because remember how well Middleton played in the playoffs against Boston last year.
Good point.
Chris was the best player in that series out of anyone. Between the Bucks and Celtics, he was the best player, the most consistent player night in and night out.
Yep.
If that Middleton shows up throughout the postseason and that helps them get to the finals, I take the risk.
Yep.
But right now I'm still $30 million a year,
man. Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to make that about what's happened in the last 2 weeks. It's about the contract and the future and the money, the max deal and all that stuff. That's the reason. Joe, real quick.
Yes.
This is so go back to your Radio Joe in July. Say you could hit a time machine and say, Joe, did you know in December you're going to do a buy or sell that says One, it's once again a true rivalry, Packers and Bears. Two, Bears are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Three, Vikings season more embarrassing than the Packers season. Four, drafting a quarterback in the first round is a bad decision. Five, Eric Bledsoe is more important than Chris Middleton. What Twilight Zone world did we just walk into?
What the hell?
The last 5 months, everything you know has been flipped upside down.
What the hell's going on out here?
Right, yes.
Cats and dogs are living together.
Vince Lombardi's looking down going, what happened?
What is happening?
What happened?
Oh,
well, Kevin, that was fun.
I win?
Sure.
I win.
Sure.
I'm going to put a big W in a circle.
You get a cookie.
Oh, I do? I hear there are cookies out in the hallway.
Yeah, I heard they got some kind of spread out there. I don't know. So
I stole some sausage when they weren't looking.
All right, go get some food and then Mike Clemens.
Yep, Clemens, green and gold insider. A lot to talk about with him next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We have to beat them at their own game, and they're awful good at takeaways, and, you know, we're not half bad at protecting the football ourselves, and that's going to be a huge component of the game, and that's going to be something we have to win. We have to win that aspect. You know, we're going on the road playing a good team. We're going to have to win that battle right there.
Back on the Bill Michaels Show, Joe Philbin and the Packers get ready for the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. I don't care how many wins or losses. I don't care about any of that stuff. There is always a lot on the line when this rivalry is renewed. And it is renewed right now. And, of course, who better to help us get that final bit of preparation for Sunday than the professor, Mike Clemens, Green and Gold Insider. Mike, how's it going?
Good, Kevin. Good, Joe. So an interesting thing happened after the Packers beat the Falcons, you know, and you're trying to find some of the reasons what Aaron Rodgers wanted, what he didn't think he was getting with Mike McCarthy. And one of the things that he said in the post-game press conference was how he liked some of the combinations he had, particularly on third down. He even turned to one of the PR directors and said, what were we for, you know, on third down today? We were above 50%, right? Like 7 out of 13. And he said, yeah, you know, and he kind of rattled off. Like, we had the one combination with Randall, Jimmy Graham, and Devontae. Then we had another package where we'd, you know, use the two tight ends. We had another one where, you know, he said we didn't even get to some of the packages today with the two rookies, EQ or MVS. And that set off a light in my head, like, see, this is what it's about. And it's not so much the play calling or the audibles. It's like, you know, damn it, on third down, these are the guys I want on the field. Because I think I know what's going to beat the defense that I've just spent all week studying, or I've, you know, beat in the past, and that might have been the conflict between he and McCarthy, or to even come up with a game plan where Aaron Jones doesn't touch the field until the second quarter, but by God, he has some big plays as the game goes on. But you put in Jamal Williams, why? For pass protection, so Rodgers can get the short passing game going against the Falcons, and then we'll move on to the screens and the runs and all that. So yesterday on Bill's show, I was so pleased, this guy called in from Milton, Wisconsin, listening on the statewide, Andrew from Milton, and Kevin, you were with our press conference with Rodgers on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I was there.
So let me explain, folks. So every Wednesday, Aaron will go in front of his locker room because he wants to, as opposed to Brett, you know, in the big media auditorium. He wants to be part of the team. Of course, there's 30 of us bunched up, you know, trying to get good pictures and good sound of this. And he went for 17 minutes on Wednesday, which is pretty long. He takes 20 questions. He generously answered them all. He does a teleconference with the other team. You know, Tom Brady, for example, he only maybe do 6 of those a year. Aaron Rodgers usually is called on every single week, and he does all that media. And he's living up to his obligations, and it helps us tell the story to fans. So Andrew Milton watched the video of that we posted on the fan webpage, and listen to what he said.
I was watching Aaron Rodgers' press conference, his locker room interview last night, and he was asked the question about how he felt about all the player substitutions that happened during the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
And the expression on his face, the glee and joy that was on his face, was so undeniable when they asked him that question. It was kind of a wake-up call for me. I'm like, wow, he was really, really excited about the change there. And I think if they win this weekend, awesome.
I was so pleased that a fan picked up on that, by watching the video version of it. Because here was the question that Aaron was asked about, hey, you know, and Aaron wants to move on now, right? He doesn't want to talk about McCarthy. Nobody wants to talk about McCarthy. They got to talk about this game against the Bears. But somebody asked him about, so some of the things that you did Sunday against the Falcons is why the offense looked better, why you had three drives that went 75 yards or more, more consistency in the drives, converting on third down. Was it because some of the concepts that you used in the game were more simple?
I wouldn't say the concepts were basic, but I thought the flow was really good, and I loved, you know, my favorite maybe sequence of calls in the game was a screen that followed a screen. I mean, the first one could have gone for about 60 had we just blocked it up the right way. And, you know, assignment-wise, Jake was supposed to run a deep over instead of kind of blocking the end and slowing him down. But to come right back with that, I mean, I love that sequence of calls there. But, yeah, Joe did a great job. I mean, the communication was great on the sidelines, and the flow was good, and we kind of got into a rhythm.
Did I read this right? You liked some of the personnel combinations you had in some of your situations against the Falcons, right? I mean, is this something that you and Joe feel good about heading into the next
year? Yeah, you read that right. You did. I liked him.
Do you remember him grinning from ear to ear when he said that?
You could hear it.
And I thought, is he goofing with me? Or And then, you know, he did. Underneath all that huddle, he elbowed me in the rib. Like, ixnay on the McCarthy say. You know, and it's like, it's bingo. This is what this has been all about. This is what the fight, the debate has been all about. These are the guys, Mike, I want out there, not that group. You know, bring this in early. That's what this thing is all about. And the other thing that Aaron Rodgers has called out, and I'm surprised that more people aren't talking about it, was last week he said, someone said, well, you know, moving forward, you know, past Mike McCarthy, are there other things you'd like to see? And he said, yeah, I'd like to hear more voices from upstairs. And we've been saying that. Fans have picked up on that. If there was a controversial move, like, you know, the Martellus Bennett situation, all that, Ted Thompson would not talk to us until the draft because he doesn't have to. And so he would make Mike McCarthy have to be out there in front of the media or the players, like Aaron or Clay, twisting in the wind trying to explain these transactions. You know, instead of the guy who made the decision coming down and talking to the fans and talking to the media about the decisions. And so Aaron Rodgers called that out, and it's something that needs to change. And so he was asked, well, now that, you know, that you're into this Joe Philbin area, are you seeing or are you talking more to Mark Murphy or the GM, Brian Gutekunst, you know, possibly about who could be the next head coach?
Well, I think in general they've been a little more visible the entire season. You know, Goody's been more involved, just around more, I think. I can't say what his level of involvement on the day-to-day, you know, game plan, I don't think there's any of that. But you just see him around, and you see Mark around, whether it's practice or walkthroughs or down the calf or walking through the locker room. You just see him and his staff. They're more visible, I think, which is a good thing.
Yeah, you know why? Because they've been evaluating the whole situation the last 6 months. That's why you've been seeing him around a lot.
And that's including being in the locker room and reading body language and conversations,
all
too.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. So Randall Cobb is back. Randall Cobb has had some huge moments at Soldier Field against the Bears. We all remember the one when Rodgers came back from the collarbone injury and he flipped that ball to Randall down the way. John Kuhn blocked off Julius Peppers, who was playing for the Bears. Tremendous play. And Davante Adams says, hey, I welcome getting rid of the double coverage and having Randall back out there. We love seeing Randall Cobb out there at Soldier Field.
Yeah, Randall's been a bear killer for a while around here. I mean, so they definitely, I know they're worried about what he can bring. You know, he played really well in that first game. So that's my mentality, or really the mentality of the receiver room in general. I mean, it just kind of makes the quarterback feel more comfortable seeing a guy open early so he can kind of anticipate it and pull the trigger without having to worry about, you know, where the defender is and communicate up front and really just, you know, making sure we know where guys are so we can get everything blocked up and picked up. And on the back end, you know, running the routes to win. And, you know, I'm approaching the game same way mentally, you know, make sure I'm getting open, giving 12 somewhere to go with the ball.
And one of the things, Kevin, that Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator, formerly before that, 49ers, Ravens, what he talks about is, Aaron will talk about this, Rodgers, about how well he disguises some of his coverage on a guy like Devontae. And Philbin talked about it. He'll call it a cloud corner, where you got the cornerback in the flats, the safety over the top, or a travel defender. Maybe Kyle Fuller will follow wherever Davante Adams goes on Sunday. or bracket coverage. You know, basically just two guys right there at the line to jam you. Or pressure on the quarterback, just get the quarterback out of the rhythm, put him under distress. Well, obviously, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, these guys are the best in the business right now. And Devontae was asked about the Bears' secondary.
They work really well together. They've had a lot of success. They play really well against us in that first game too. So, you know, they got some impact guys that we got to make sure we know where they are at all times. Great front seven. Have the, you know, the guys, Mukumar, Prince, and Kyle over there have been playing really good too. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, Kyle Fuller, who the Packers made a run at the start of free agency, and then the Bears had to sign him. Seven interceptions. Eddie Jackson, the NFC player of the month in the month of November, five picks. They've got 12 picks together, just those two guys. The Packers as a team only have seven interceptions for the season. The Bears as a team, 25 interceptions.
Wow. Mike, I've been taking notes this whole time. Literally, my writing hand is cramping up, so let me get about 2 minutes here. Yeah, you know, kind of recover a little bit, but you got a lot more to cover here. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider. More with Mike next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Luigi's. It's a Pizza Friday. Thanks to our friends at Luigi's Frozen Pizza. It's different than most frozen pizzas out there. For the most part, their pizza's right here, handmade in Belgium, Wisconsin, with delicious fresh ingredients, 100% real Wisconsin cheese. My personal favorite, by the way, the Big Daddy. Packed with several varieties of tasty meat. Kids like the pepperoni. Sherry likes everything. It doesn't matter what it happens to be. The Supreme, the Big Daddy. She likes pepperoni or just plain cheese. But wife, kids, they all love it. You will too. For over 40 years, that's Luigi's. The Luigi's frozen pizza that tastes fresh, guaranteed. Available at quality grocery stores and all the taverns throughout the state of Wisconsin. And if they don't have it, ask for it by name. That is Luigi's.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The holiday gift that everybody loves. It's compact, tasty, and one size fits all. It's a Cousin Subs gift card, so you can make your life a little easier. Give your friends, your family members a better gift this holiday season. Purchase a $25 gift card today at your favorite Cousin Subs store, and you get a gift certificate for a free 7.5-inch sub. Now, that's the gift that keeps on giving. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
At some point, you got to go. You know, it's time to go. And so we'll have some things that we'll certainly want to take advantage of. At the same point in time, we have a system in place that we've been working on since April 16th. It should be able to handle a lot of things. And, you know, that's the fun of the game.
Joe Philbin, Packers head coach, as his team gets ready to face the Bears, the interim coach, Joe Philbin. That game plan has been going on since April, and the game plan for this Packers team to face Chicago has been a successful one, not just in the last year or two, but for quite some time. Mike Clemens, this is an 8-game Packers win streak on the road at Soldier Field.
Yeah. And, you know, and most of those are Aaron Rodgers, but Allen Robinson is one of the big free agency pickups that Ryan Pace, Bears GM, made, get him from the Jaguars, and I'm sure Allen's glad he got the hell out of Jacksonville the way their year went. Boy, everybody thought that they could be the AFC reps in the Super Bowl this year. Allen is the only Bear on the injury list going into this game. Only one player. He's got a hip, but he's limited. He should be in. I think Jair Alexander will probably follow him, just like Mike Pettine has put, you know, Jair against Alan Thielen and against Julio Jones, all these number ones. So that'll probably be the coverage. So Allen Robinson talking about, yeah, they're well aware of not only the 8-game losing streak at home at Soldier Field, the rivalry, and the chance that if the Bears win the thing, they can clinch the division.
Again, I mean, we know that's at stake, you know, but as far as in this team, in this locker room, you know, again, it's another opponent that we got to beat, you know, so we're going to treat it like any other Sunday, you know, try to go out there and get the W.
And like Sean McVay out in L.A., Matt Nagy's one of these younger, new head coaches with lots of fire, lots of energy, lots of things like trick plays to get his team motivated, and playing clips of not successes. A lot of these coaches only play highlights. He's played the lowlights of the Bears, like losing to Brett Hundley last year at Soldier Field. And Mitch Trubisky, their quarterback, talked about watching that tape the other morning.
You know, it's a rivalry game, so this is important for us even more this week to be 1-0. And we watched some clips from this morning about just getting that sick feeling back, that sting a little bit, and we just want to finish so we don't have that feeling again.
Interesting way to motivate the guys.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
You lost to Hundley.
Right.
How about that?
Right. So one of the challenges on the Bears' defensive line is Akeem Hicks, 6'5", 332 pounds. And, you know, it's been nice to have Corey Linsley back. Corey Linsley is, you know, out of Ohio State, has been a great guy to talk to in the locker room. He's been laying low a lot this season. And after the win against the Falcons, we talked to him, and he had some really great answers. He's always got good insight about what's gone on the offensive line. And the double teams they're going to have to deal with Akeem Hicks.
A lot of guys that are that big maybe aren't as quick or as athletic or, you know, don't do some other stuff well. I think he's a well-rounded player who also happens to be enormous. You know, he's a big dude, and, you know, he moves extremely well for his size. If he was smaller, he'd still move extremely well, you know. They're at least as talented as anybody that we've gone up against, and then combine that with the scheme that obviously Coach Fangio is, you know, has a reputation of being a great defensive coordinator. So, you know, all in all, it's a huge challenge. You know, we've played these guys before. We've been ready for these guys before. You know, we just have to do it again. Coming to this week prepared. You play them week one of the year, there are things that are going to change, and you're going to have to change with them. So, you know, we're not going to just run the same playbook, you know, as we did week one. You know, we're going to have to adjust some things, and just as they're going to adjust for us.
So the focal point, of course, Kevin, for Green Bay and their offense is right tackle. Bulaga is not going to play. It'll be Jason Spriggs again, the former second round pick. You know, how do you feel about that?
You're asking me how I feel about that. That name has come to generate like bad things in the bottom of my stomach as this year has gone on. It's not been good.
No, and you know, and Bulaga couldn't handle Mac at the start of that game, week one. I mean, Mac was pushing back the big kid from Iowa 5-6 yards. It took Brian Bulaga, the experienced right tackle, you know, two quarters and a half time to start thinking, I got to rethink my footing to deal with this guy. His upper body is so strong. So that's going to be something that obviously Joel Philbin is going to have to bring in, you know, a tight end, Lewis, you know, or Kendricks or something to help out. They've got that fullback, Vital, to deal with Matt coming in off the right side or wherever they line him up. Justin McCray is going to play right guard. Now, he actually started week one because Byron Bell, though, the guy who eventually got the starting job at right guard, he's now on injured reserve. I think McCray can still live up to this task, even though he's a little bit shorter in size, but going up against guys like, well, he talked about what he learned in that season opener going up against a talent like Khalil Mack.
I think the early part of the game, last game, was more on me. I mean, no discredit to him. He's a great player, but it was more me, you know, not being fundamentally sound and doing things that I usually don't do. And, you know, after I, you know, regained myself and, you know, got back to doing what I do, I think I did well.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now on defense, you've got to go against you know, Allen Robinson. You got Tariq Cohen, who's really speedy, coming out of the backfield for passes. And one of the things that Mitch Trubisky does best now under Matt Nagy is run pass option. And if you're a linebacker, you know, when we talk about these RPOs, you're looking at like the right side of the line and the guard and the tackle and maybe the center look like they're dropping back for pass protection. While you look at the left guard and tackle, and they seem to be double-teaming a guy like they're going to be zone blocking for a run. And so what the quarterback has the option of is he makes this decision at the snap, I could either roll to my left and throw the ball, or I could roll to my right and turn it off and hand it off to the back in front of me, or maybe run down the line and then pitch it out. So that's what run-pass option is in the NFL. Blake Martinez says that the Bears have run it pretty well.
It's tough in certain moments, but it's also one of those things, trusting the guys next to you. And I think having an understanding where certain guys are meant to go and fit the run, and then certain guys are meant for, I don't know, cutback situations in the run, so it allows you to play back and be in those windows for enough time to allow the other coverages to catch up. That's their strong suit, is the first 15, the scripted plays. And it's one of those things where you have that understanding and you need to be prepared and be able to have 13 games worth of scripted moments going into it. It's going to help us out that much more.
Trubisky's athletic. Most of the time he's pretty accurate. But I think there's things that some of these better teams do, particularly with their safeties, that can confuse him. And sometimes if he gets frustrated, he starts running with the football rather than just being patient or kind of understanding before the snap what's going to be zone, what's going to be man coverage, and that kind of thing. But overall, it's the rivalry. It's the Bears and the Packers. You know, there was a story about a couple of years ago when Rodgers was out to dinner in Chicago the night before the game. He saw some guys, you know, walk in, and it's a table of some Bears players. And the waiter comes over to these Bears players when they're done with their dinner and says, it's been taken care of. And they point, and Rodgers is getting up and leaving his table. He picked up their tab. So these guys, they get along, you know. But they understand this is about the fans. This is about, you know, the cheesehead wall and the name-calling and the Bears still suck and all that kind of thing. And I thought it was kind of cool to hear Packers running back Jamal Williams saying, are you in tune? Do you understand the significance of this Bears-Packers rivalry?
I have the hatred because everybody else got the hatred. So it's like contagious. You know? That's what you got to have. But you just ready for it. You know how important a game it is by how many times they're talking about it and how many times, you know, the linemen, everybody getting prepared, you know. Really, it's just still all about us, making sure that we all just ready to go, prepared and ready we are, the more easy it'd be for us.
Hey, and one good note that's out today, too, is the Packers, maybe he's their leading defensive back, their leading corner outside of Jair Alexander, is this Rashad Breeland, who they picked up. Very close family friend, looked like a guy that he played football with in high school, and they won the state championship in South Carolina. Died in a car-related incident to Tuesday night. He's been in South Carolina the last 2 days. But Mike Pettine said last night they expect him back today, and that even though he's missed 2 days of game planning, they feel confident he can contribute, and they're going to need all hands on deck Sunday at noon when they play the Bears at Soldier Field.
Coming off that pick six, just nice to have some difference makers in that secondary. We're going to be back with our key difference maker, Mike Clemens, his final thoughts, and we'll wrap things up on the Bill Michaels Show next.
This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. Out and about again this year, the Bill Michaels Huddle is back, and look for us at a pub near you sometime soon. We hope to see you as a face in the crowd. That's Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, giving away $15,000 in cash and prizes. Right now, you can win an Apple Watch, a Yeti cooler, PS4 bundle, KitchenAid mixer, all through December 25th. The only way to get registered, though, is to have a Quick Trip rewards card. Go to quicktrip.com, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com, and then /sweepstakes, and you can see the daily prize, but you got to get the rewards card as well. You can download the app on your mobile device or just stop into any participating Quick Trip. Go to Quick Trip today. We are always proud to use Quick Trip.
And proud to talk Green Bay Packers football with our green and gold insider, Mike Clemens. Mike, there's always fun, even in a season with more losses than wins and all the other stuff, there's always fun that these guys have, and it's nice to see a little different side, isn't it, to some of these guys?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's got a variety of TV commercials, and I don't follow this stuff that closely. It's actually some part of it I'm interested in, just because I thought like those spots that he and Clay Matthews did in the hotel last year were outstanding. And they shoot these things mostly just before training camp gets started. But Aaron's got this spot you're seeing more and more of. It's the Bose commercial alert. It's pregame warm-ups. He's got the headphones on, and there's a shot through the tunnel, and it's got a big Bears logo on there. And you think, oh, wow, I mean, he shot a commercial at Soldier Field. What's up with that? And the conversation was about the fact that the Packers have beat the Bears at Soldier Field 8 games in a row. I think somebody asked him if he'll be wearing his Bose headsets like he does in the TV commercial. And I'll give you a little background to this thing that I found out. So there's a weird soft folk song that's in this thing. As he puts on the headphones and kind of tunes out the world, and some woman named Kelly Finnegan, a song called Catch Me, I'm Fallin'. She's Californian. He probably knows her or something like that because he's into the music scene. And then there's a little girl, she's holding out the football, looking like for an autograph, and he's smiling at her. And, you know, it's kind of a takeaway dream thing on what, you know, the music can do for these guys. You know, that's the idea. Well, Rodgers explained that wasn't Soldier Field. They did that at the Chargers Stadium, the temporary stadium in Carson in L.A. County. It's about 15 minutes south of L.A. He just got in his... left his house in L.A. and went to the commercial shoot. He didn't come all the way to Chicago to shoot this thing. And they put a Bears logo in the tunnel to make people think this was shot at Soldier Field. So Rodgers talked about that commercial and the rivalry with the Bears.
They agreed to that. They agreed to that. They really did. Chicago had to sign off on that. So that was, I didn't pick Chicago. Not saying I wouldn't have, but I didn't pick I didn't pick that. And like I said, that was filmed at the Chargers stadium right now. But your question about winning there, yeah, we've won 8 in a row. So it's, you know, it's not a, I'm not talking trash to their squad or Akeem or anything. That's just facts. We've had a good run since that Monday night game in 2010, and 7 in a row in the regular season, and obviously 1 in the postseason. Great place to play. They got a fantastic fan base. They know when to cheer. They're loud. They're involved in the game. The field has always been kind of a wild card. The length of the grass over the years has been interesting. I've always, you know, complimented Robbie when he was there forever, and our kicker Mason for, you know, the difficulties in kicking in the, you know, the lake effect down there and the weather up here. It's you know, we've had some great games over the years there. Some fun ones, some memorable ones, some you'd like to forget, like 07 and the cold there, 08 and the cold on that night game. But we've had some big memories there also, thinking like, you know, 2013 was a fun one.
Our thanks to Mike Clemens, always informative. Thank you, Joe. Fun time as always.
Always a pleasure.
I'm staying optimistic about Sunday. Telling you right now, little hope of optimism. Going to do it. Have that with your weekend. Enjoy the game. Bill is back Monday. Thanks, guys.
Station strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.